God that this morning, when your mom put a red t-shirt and blue shorts on you, she told you that you were going to a place where there was no war, where you could play without bombs raining on you, and you would go to sleep without the lullaby of gunfire.
I've seen family members killed by the Taliban and by ISIS. One lady, young lady, fled for her life because she's got an education. Her sisters have been killed. Thousands of sad stories, unfortunately.
We don't have anything.
Everything is bad.
Everything is lost.
We are tired. Civilian people are tired. The road is so dangerous.
No fence, no razor wire, no wall can prevent people fleeing war, fleeing persecution, fleeing armed conflicts.
They wouldn't leave their country if they were not forced to do so.
I think it's a terrible situation. Something needs to be done about it. All of these people flooding their own countries. So what's the right thing?
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. Europe is slowly opening its borders to refugees from Syria and across the Middle East. The UK will accept up to 20,000 refugees over the next 5 years. France, 24,000. Germany says they can cope with more migrants and will allow up to 500,000 asylum seekers over the next several years. Over the last 4 years, 11 million Syrians have been displaced by war, along with thousands of Afghans and Iraqis. Thousands are now on the move from Turkey across the Aegean Sea into Greece, and then they turn north to Hungary, hoping to cross the border into Germany, France, or Austria. While some of these refugees are fortunate enough to find safe passage by plane to other nations, thousands more are relying on boats, boats that don't always deliver their human cargo to their destinations alive. But while the refugee crisis rages on, there are organizations and individuals working to reduce the number of tragic endings for displaced refugees at sea. Lindis Haroom is emergency coordinator for Doctors Without Borders. She's on board the Bourbon Argos in the Mediterranean. She says the people they're rescuing with that ship have terrifying stories of fear and flight.
Yeah, so we're doing this in close collaboration with the Italian authorities and the Italian Coast Guard. So we're patrolling about 35 miles north of the Libyan shores. And then the Italian authorities might call us saying that they have discovered a boat in distress at this position. Or we can also come in contact with them ourselves by scouting using binoculars. Or they can also be Turkish fishermen who discover them and call Mayday over the radio.
And then you can sail or motor right to those people and give them assistance.
Exactly, yes.
What are their most immediate needs once you pull up alongside them usually?
Water, to get them water. They're dehydrated, and also to, as we have a medical team on board, we try to assess as soon as possible if there are other needs. There can be burns due to fuel on the boat. People can have wounds from torture or other war wounds dating from some time back. It can be pregnant women as far as 8-9 months. Last week, we had a woman going straight into labor the moment she came on the boat. It's really a lot of different situation. And what I'd like to say is that it's the contrast between the intensity and the drama of the rescue operation and then the moment when they are safe on our ship, there's extreme scenes of joy and relief. And it's a very strong moment for the people we rescue, but also for the whole Doctors Without Borders team.
And talk more about that, if you would. Of course, there's enough tragedy and horror to go around in a situation like this. A pregnant woman who you rescued, who was in labor at that moment, and literally thousands of people who've survived a real ordeal on the decks of your ships. Talk more about that.
Yeah, so there's the numbers are huge, but what we try to focus on is every individual person who comes on this boat. They have all stories of fear and flight. And for whatever reason, today you are in Libya, the only thing you want is to get out. We have a lot of minors. Last rescue, we had 74 unaccompanied minors, as young as down to 11 years old. We have babies of just 1 or 2 months. This is really much more than just what Europe call economical migrants. It's really people who fear for their life.
Last Tuesday on September 2nd, that was the same day that the world saw the terrible photo of the drowned little Syrian boy on the shores of Turkey. On that day, you and your team rescued over 1,000 people. Can you tell us about that operation and maybe a little bit about the contrast for you having so much success with 1,000 people rescued at sea, with the terrible tragedy that the world saw in the form of a photo?
Yes, for us it was an intense day, but also a successful day as we managed to rescue more than 1,000 people from two boats. Only two boats had more than 1,000 people on board, including more than 350 women and more than 100 children. So they were all luckily they were rescued, and a few hours later we have children playing with balloons and the women singing songs and everybody praying and being happy for being alive. And that's a huge contrast to the horrible pictures that the world saw. And if we weren't there or someone else weren't there to rescue them, that could be them being their fate as well.
What does the world need to know about the reality of this crisis based on what you've seen on the water and being with refugees face to face?
Well, we need to look at them as persons, as human beings, and stop referring to them as numbers or economical migrants over there. These are really people, families, grandfathers, mothers who flee for their life. And Europe needs to open their borders and welcome them and not look at how we can build the wall higher, rather how we can open up our doors and welcome them, because they really, really need our help.
Of course, a fence going up along the border between Hungary and Serbia, 109 miles, I think, Linda Sarum, you just referred to that. Other countries in Europe now saying that they are going to take some of the refugees, 10,000 here, 100,000 there. What do you think of that progress?
I think over the past couple of weeks, we've seen a wave of solidarity, not necessarily among the politicians and decision makers, but among European citizens, which is very encouraging also for us doing this operation at sea. Angela Merkel did a good step in the right direction, suspending the Dublin agreement. Now I would like to see the same step taken by other European leaders and really realize this is a humanitarian crisis on the doorstep of Europe, and we can no longer ignore it.
Linda Sarum, we wish you all success and safety in your work. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Linda Sarum of Doctors Without Borders. She's the emergency coordinator on the Bourbon Argos in the Mediterranean.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.